So the goal of supply chain and marketing integration is to create a unique competitive advantage by linking together the customer values with more effective flow of products. So as we talked about, unique competitive advantage. So assume that your competition is delivering a vehicle, let's say a customized vehicle, within 15 days. And if you are doing able to do this in 10 days, this is a competitive advantage. Or look at it this way, that competition is not able to offer a customized solution. They may be offering vehicles which are off the shelf. That means the dealer is holding an inventory and they are able to offer the model from the ready stock. Whereas you are able to customize and offer the product to the customer within more or less the same time. Even with the dealer, many times, you will find the customer orders a particular model with a particular color. Now, the dealer may say that they do not have the model in their inventory, and it will take them certain time to replenish or to order the model. So if your supply chain is agile, flexible, reactive, or rather proactive, then you will have a unique value, which will basically push your product. Because again, as we said, the markets are changing. And in today's market, the customer is not willing to wait. He generally wants the product. So if he's going to pay for a car, then he wants the car in the shortest possible time. So the flow must always be refined and create a customer value proposition in a constantly changing market. And we saw this, that look at the example of the car where you have new models coming almost every year. So you have a model which is 2019 and then 2020 and then 2021. So, and they have certain variations, certain upgrades, certain new features. So when you say the flow must be refined, that means the flow must be smooth. It should not be like a knee-jerk reaction. It has to be planned out in such a way. And many times the switchover from one model to another happens in a very short time. In fact, the 1 minute diet change, what they talk about in the industry. So even there, if you are changing from one model to the other, then the die presses, where the body parts or the metal chassis of the automobile is created, they change over from one model to another in a very, very short time. So any downtime is basically a waste of resources. That means your facility is not producing or not adding any value. So the flow, again, we come back here, has to be very refined and constantly it has to create a value, for the markets and ever-changing market. Even you have seen that things like mobile, you have a new model coming every few months. I mean, there was a time a model would be there for like 1 year. Today, the models change every 6 months and in some cases even lesser than that. So supply chain actions should always be aligned with the business strategy of the firm. So if the business strategy of the firm is operational excellence, then they have to be extremely efficient in making the product. The strategy could be different. If innovation is the business strategy, then they have to constantly innovate on the product, which means come out with new products. And if they are, going to be more aligned, the business strategy is aligned to, let's say, customer intimacy, where you provide services or products which are, customized to the customer's requirement. The organization, the supply chain must meet this requirement. So the entire gamut of supply chain has to be aligned to this in order to achieve this market integration. So some of the drivers of the supply chain management are, there is increased need and requirement of the customer. So you find that suddenly there is a very huge requirement. When you normally have a simple unit and you have a steady requirement, you have excess capacity, in small, you know, what we call as MSME units, etc., you don't require this elaborate supply chain management. Look at a small roadside vendor who runs a vada pav shop or something. He doesn't require supply chain. You require the supply chain, and you know, which we call as the drivers, is where you have the increased needs, the requirement of the customers. Either it could be specific, or it could be, you know, your own variants that you are offering to the market. Globalization of the economy. Now, we have covered this in earlier chapters. What is globalization? You are sourcing your components, your raw materials from across the world. That means you are taking advantage of the cheapest and the best raw materials or the best technologies. Likewise, you are also marketing your product across the world. So it's not that you are selling the product only in your region or your country, but you are also sending it out. Now, the complexity that you introduce there, because the lead times, the synchronization, the, you know, as you have the demand coming in, the forecast coming in, you need to look at the lead times which are required to bring in the products. And all these requires a very elaborate and a very mature supply chain system. Only then you will be able to manage it. Increased competition. So, you know, you have a very, very tough competition. There are various industries where you have cutthroat competition, you know. Unless you have a very efficient supply chain, very synchronized supply chain, you will not be able to compete. And as I said, because supply chain is going to ensure an efficient supply chain will ensure low inventory, which means lower working capital, lower cost, velocity of the inventory, right from the raw material to the finished product. And mind you, it's not up to the finished product, it's up to the market. That means you are going to deliver the material right from the supplier, the vendor, right up to the market. You're going to increase the velocity, the service levels. That means you're going to ensure very high levels of service. Standardized products and services, and shorter product life cycle. So, you know, what we talked about, things like the mobile or the automobile, the life cycle is very, very short, and you need to constantly innovate, upgrade for the product to continue to sell. You must have seen that, you know, when we see a new model of the car and then we feel that, oh, that's much better. I can exchange my car, you know, and go for the upgraded version. Same is the case with the mobiles, etc. So for a shorter product life cycle, you know, you need to have a very mature supply chain management. So what are the components of a supply chain management? Large set of activities besides purchasing. So purchasing is just one of the functions. And we will look at what are the chain of the functions which actually make up the supply chain management. Supply chain management is a collective function which encompasses a lot of functions. And so they are part of the network that will define how efficiently and effectively goods and information flow across the supply chain. And we will see how this happens. So the components we saw, one is procurement, which basically triggers the incoming material. So they will release maybe the production or the planning will release a purchase requisition, and the procurement based on the purchase requisition will release a purchase order, which will ensure that the material comes in at the specified time. Next is the incoming logistics, or inward logistics as we call it. This may not be very relevant because nowadays in many areas in the industry, companies insist that the vendor deliver the material right up to the doorsteps. So even the cost of the material is as delivered, door delivered. Next comes the quality control, where you basically check on the quality. Warehousing, where you store the material till such time it is required. Stores is generally, what we use for spares and other things, operating supplies, etc. So warehouse may be for the main raw materials as well as for the finished goods. Stores are mainly for the spares and the operating supplies. Then you have the transportation and the physical distribution of the finished product. And finally, you have the customer service. So let's look at procurement. So procurement is the process of sourcing material from the vendor, inspecting it, and finally paying the vendor for the accepted material. In industry, we also call this order to pay. So right from ordering the material till the time you pay for the material. Procurement is a requirement for almost every organization, which is why it is considered as a very basic function. Exceptions. If you have a company, which has got an upstream production and then they have a downstream production. Like I worked in one of the industries, in the aluminum industry, where the company had various units, various sites, and they handled everything from bauxite, mining of the bauxite, right up to downstream products like flexible packaging, extrusions, sheets, every kind of product. So there, you don't require a procurement, because your affiliate or your sister concern is actually supplying the raw material or the intermediate, which you further process and then you pass it on. Or you may make a finished product out of it and give it to the market. So with the exception of this kind of a organization, most organizations will need to procure the inputs, which will be components or raw materials. So this is required. Although we say here, that procurement is, sourcing from the vendor, inspecting it, and then paying the vendor. This is again handled by various functions. Like, for example, sourcing is something which the procurement does. Inspection normally is taken care of by the quality control, or what we now call as quality assurance. The entire focus today is not on testing, not on controlling the non-conforming materials or products. It's about assuring the quality so that, with minimal inspection, you can carry out the activities. In the process, you are also cutting down on the times, because if you are going to inspect a material, then it takes a finite time until the quality assurance department okays the material. It cannot be taken for production. So many cases you have controls on the vendor, you have the quality control at the vendor, and he provides a certificate of analysis assuring about the quality. And based on that, you are using the material. At the most, you have some sample check, which is very, very sparse. So, and then, finally, the payment, which is normally taken care of by the accounts department or the bill payment department. So, typical, procurement cycle is, you have the procurement planning, which normally it comes from the forecasting. So the forecasting and the production plan is drawn up for the month or the horizon, which the company operates on. Then they will make the master production schedule. And in the master production schedule, they will decide when the materials are required, what are the quantities which are required, and they will release a... So this is all forming part of the procurement planning. They will release the purchase requisition. Now, once the purchase requisition is released, then the procurement department swings into action. They will determine the source, of the supply. They may select the vendor. Selection of the vendor can be, normally they will have two or three vendors, so that in case there is any mishap, if one of the vendors is not able to supply, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. So you have always two, three options. Sometimes even based on cost, etc., you may have the L1, L2, L3, where the major chunk of order is placed on the vendor who is giving you the lowest rate, of course, with the right quality. And the people who are maybe slightly higher, they have a smaller percentage of orders. So this is also controlled by the procurement, how much orders has to be given to whom. It could depend also upon what is the kind of urgency. If you need the material very quickly, then you may place it on a vendor who is placed nearer to the facility, and he can deliver the material faster. The purchase order creation, so once you have decided on the source of supply of the on the vendor, then you place a purchase order. Based on the purchase order, the vendor will supply the goods. So you have to receive the goods in the warehouse where you actually count the material to see whether, you know, the quantity, quality, everything is meeting, the documentation is correct. And then finally, you process the vendor payment. So procure to pay, or what we call as, procure to pay. So we come to the next component of supply chain, and which is logistics. And here we are talking of the inward logistics. So logistics is concerned with the movement and storage of materials and people. And needs to be remembered, you know, that logistics is not only material. It can be also movement of the people. So in certain kind of industries where you need to bring your labor, your manpower, or you have to transport them, that is also part of the logistics function. So it deals with the planning and control of the flow of material and the related information in the organization. So when we are talking inward logistics, in case you have your own fleet of vehicles, or you're using a third party, then you are picking up the material from the vendors and bringing it in at the right time. Logistics also in many organizations where you have a very huge site, flow within the site also is controlled by the logistics function. So they control, and mind you, it's not just transportation of material or movement of the material, but also getting the material at the right time, right place, and in the right quantities to ensure that your operations are unobstructed, to maintain the continuity of the operations. So the main objective of the logistics is to get the right material to the right place. Right material means, if you deliver the wrong material, then your production may come to a halt, since the material will not be suitable for your assembly or manufacture. So to the right place, where it is required, and optimizing the total operational cost. So, we don't say the right price or right cost, because it's not just a matter of, the freight, etc., but the total cost, of the movement of the material. So logistics delivers value to the customer through three logistical phases. As we said, one is the inbound. So it involves basically the relationship between the supplier and the firms, which carries out the activity of receiving, storing, delivering the material. As I said, currently the trend I see in the market and many of the industries that I have worked with, the inbound logistics is taken care of by the vendors. Even you must have seen that in automobile industry, where we are operating on JIT, the schedules are given to the vendors when the material is required as per the JIT, and they have to come and deliver the material and unload the material at their designated spot. Operations, so in this case, the input material, they have to be transferred into output. But as I said, we are not here talking of the manufacturing activity. We are talking here of the intra-site or intra-plant movement of the material. And then, of course, you have the outbound logistics, where you are transferring material either from the operation site, the production plant, to the warehouse, and then beyond. So even the distribution supplying the material to the distributors, this is responsibility of the outbound logistics. What are the different logistics costs? So you have the inventory carrying cost, the kind of a warehouse that you have, the administrative costs, and the transportation cost. So inventory carrying cost is if you're going to, let's say, lease a warehouse, which you know most of the companies, when you are having a warehouse outside your facility, outside your plant or site, so you have to lease the warehouse, and this is going to add to the inventory carrying cost. Inventory is also working capital. So you have made a material, and if it's lying in your warehouse, it's the money which is blocked. So the finance cost is also adding to the inventory carrying cost. Other costs which add to the inventory carrying cost is also your obsolescence, pilferage, damage. So these are all adding to the inventory carrying cost. Administrative cost will be more the managerial cost, or you know the cost of the handling, labor, loading, unloading, the staff which manage the warehouse, and the logistics. And transportation, of course, this can be either your own captive transport or a third party transport, but this is, you know, where you are paying for the freight. Okay. So coming to quality control, which is the next component of supply chain. So all organizations recognize the importance of supplier quality and the need to prevent rather than simply detect the quality problems. The emphasis has shifted from detecting the defects at the time of receipt or use to prevention early in the material sourcing process. Progressive organizations work directly with suppliers to develop proper quality control procedures and processes. So this is what we talked about, the quality assurance. The label, quality control was more of, you know, once you have completed a process, you check to see whether the material, product, component, or the intermediate meets your quality requirement or not. Today you have statistical process controls, which make sure that none of the products will be rejected. That means you are looking at the capability of the equipment, and you are constantly monitoring the output to ensure that none of your product go beyond the permissible tolerance limit. So you are making it a more proactive approach. Also the emphasis is to ensure quality at the previous stage. So now within the organization, for example, the companies that I work for, when we have a material coming from the affiliate, there is no testing to be done, because we believe the testing and the quality parameters which have been indicated in the certificate of analysis, and we directly will take the material for either manufacture or for resale purpose. Progressive organizations, you know, they work directly with the supplier to ensure that the right quality is delivered. What do they do? Normally they have a supplier audit, where you actually audit every function, right from selection of the raw material, the quality records, the testing procedure, so that there is no difference between the test results in your organization and the vendor organization. At times you are even training the vendor organization, the vendor employees, into the correct methods, etc. So what you're doing is you are regularly auditing these functions, you're ensuring that the equipment are calibrated, etc. And whatever certificate of analysis is given by the vendor stands good. There will be at the most sometimes a random check, or they will have a quality check, a quality assurance check, once for every 3 supplies or once for every 6 supplies, you know, something like this, just to ensure that what is reported in the certificate of analysis meets your internal measurements. So this is how you are working to ensure that you don't actually spend time or incur cost in testing of the material. you are ensuring that the quality is assured, and how you do it is, as I said, through the audits, training, and aligning of the vendor organization, their systems with your own systems to ensure, you know, always right quality. Coming to the warehousing component, so warehousing is defined as that part of a firm's logistics system that stores the product. So here it is raw materials, or it could be parts or components, as in case of assemblies, goods in process, and finished goods. So understandable that you know, raw materials, once they are received, they are kept in the warehouse. Some places it could be a matter of minutes or hours. In some places, you know, the raw materials may have to lie for, let's say, a month or so. Especially in case, you know, when you have imported raw materials where the lead times are very, very high, you are required to, you know, keep certain safety stocks. Because let us say that your transit time is 30 days and the total order time is, say, about 45 days. Suddenly, if there is a change in demand, then the only way you can bring the material faster is by air, and which can be very costly. So generally, for this kind of products, you may keep certain inventories. Goods in process. Now, many places, there are sub-assemblies. So we saw in the case of the automobile example that you have the engines, you have the the transmission. Now, let's take the automobile example. You have the diesel engine, you have the petrol engine. Now, in many cases, you have a choice of petrol engine with either 4 liters engine, or 1.6 liter engine, or 1.8 liter, or you have a hybrid engine, or you have a diesel engine. Again, you have this kind of variance. Even in transmission, you have a manual transmission or you have a automatic transmission. So you have this kind of sub-assemblies, you know, which you have to keep it in the warehouse, in your inventory. Because if you have to, you know, deliver the products in a timely manner, you may not be holding very high inventories, but in certain small proportions, you will be maintaining the inventory, which can be replenished. So you have certain buffers or levels defined. When your inventory goes below a certain level, it will be replenished by the supplying or the affiliate plant, or if it's a vendor, then the vendor will be replenishing the inventory. So warehouse will store basically the raw material or the incoming components, sometimes sub-assemblies, goods in process, and of course the finished goods. They also provide the information to the management on what is the status, what is the condition. So, you know, like, assume that you have received some material which is rejected for whatever reason. Let's say it got damaged in transit and it cannot be used. Then this kind of a material will be tagged accordingly. They will be moved to a quarantine, you know, where it cannot be issued to the production process, and the material will be tagged accordingly, so that, you know, even the production and the entire supply chain knows what is the usable inventory that you have. Sometimes, you know, it so happens that even for a certain product, you require a superior quality of the raw material. So when we are talking of the disposition, just to give an example, the company that I work for, they make dyes, and they make a huge batch of a dye. Now, generally what they do is they synthesize the dye, and the finished product is in the form of a liquid. So it's a liquid dye, and that each batch of the dye will not be exactly as per the standard, but it may be slightly yellower or redder or greener in tone. So what they do is they actually store this material in large plastic tanks. Typically each tank will be about 20 tons or so capacity. At the end of it, they will study, let's say, 3 or 5 batches, and then they will decide that cross-mixing these batches will give them the perfect product. So they generally have a program which will compare the quality parameters, and it will tell them in what proportion the batches have to be blended or formulated, and then it is spray dried. So when you see the finished product, you find a product which is almost as per the standard, and you do this without adding any additional dyes or colors. You know, you are using different batches of the same dye, and then you are getting the finished product which is as per the very close to the standards. So one of the important goals in warehousing is to maximize the flexibility, and this is what we saw, you know, because like the automobile example, if you have to cater to a petrol engine and a diesel engine, or a manual versus a automatic transmission, unless you hold certain inventory, you may not be able to ensure the velocity of the inventory. That means, you know, quickly deliver the material to the market. So here we are talking of the lead time, you know, from the time a demand is created till the time it is delivered to the market. You will not be able to ensure that unless you're holding some inventory. So this is also a part of the flexibility, you know. So you can use the warehouse strategically to provide for the flexibility in your production. And this is what also we talked about, you know, that when you are designing the supply chain, the strategic planning that goes into the supply chain is all these things. That means, what is the kind of flexibility you're going to provide? What is the kind of lead time you're going to promise to the customer? Because you can go and make a marketing pitch. You say that we will deliver a car within so many days. If you fail on that, you lose your credibility. So you have to align your supply chain with your business objectives. Flexibility is also an essential part of being able to respond to ever-changing customer demand in terms of product assortment, value-added service, and the way shipments are sequenced and presented. We covered this, you know, with the options that the customer may have. So flexibility is essential for that. In some cases, it could be the value-added service also. So no warehousing should be included in the logistics system unless it is fully justified on some combination of cost and service. This is a very loaded statement, you know. Why do you require a warehouse? Why do you require an inventory? Ideally, we say in automotive industry, it has to be goods in just in time. You don't want to hold inventory, right? Even you want to make the model which can be shipped out immediately. So warehouse should be for a strategic purpose. When you look at the entire supply chain, every part of the supply chain adds a value. So when you convert the raw material or the components into a finished product or an assembly, you're adding value. So you are taking a raw material worth, let's say, 100 rupees, and then you're converting it into a finished product. The cost addition may be 20 rupees, but the finished product has a marketable value of, let's say, 150 rupees. You are adding value. When you look at the warehouse, you generally are not adding a value. You're only adding a cost. Cost, because as we said, the warehouse, it's a space, it requires people, it requires a structure, it requires material handling. So it is incurring a cost. So unless it is adding value, you know, and only then you need to justify a warehouse. One very classic case, in my organization, there was a proposal for putting up a warehouse. And since we are a multinational, you require very high level of compliance. So you require sprinkler systems, and then there are a lot of specific requirement. Even like in case of a fire, if the sprinkler system discharges, the water should not go to the drain. It should be collected in a tank because it could contain chemicals, etc. So it cannot be allowed to run into a stream or a lake or a river or something like that. So the cost of the warehouse was very high, and the management put the foot down and they said, sorry, we are not willing to approve this kind of a warehouse. The simple reason being, you know, you can spend crores of rupees on a warehouse, and mind you, warehouses, good quality warehouses, are not cheap. So are they going to add value? So it's a very strategic question. And if you are having a warehouse, then it has to serve a purpose. It has to add value.